We're doing Rav Chalap on Parashat Vayishlach, and the topic we're going to discuss is Hachna'ato Shel Yaakov, Yaakov's surrendering to Esav. The topic will be broken down into four subjects. Number one is the idea of Yaakov being the fruit and Esav being the peel. Number two is Esav has the aspect of the mind, the nation's approach to Torah, to godliness, to monotheism is intellectual, and we are given the capacity to connect through the heart. The third subject is Yaakov's surrender was in order to bring down Esav's elevation. And the fourth subject is that the patriarch's merits actually nurse off of the future. So four topics. Yaakov is the fruit, Esav is the peel. Esav connects through the mind, Israel through the heart. Yaakov surrendered in order to bring down Esav's elevation. And finally, the merits of the patriarchs nurses off of the future. Tafkido shel Yaakov, Yaakov's task initially in utero was היה לחלץ מעשיו את כל ניצוצות הקדושה שהיו בו בעודו בבטן. Yaakov was supposed to take in utero all the sparks of holiness that Esav had, כדי שלא יישאר שריד לבית עשיו. Technically, Yaakov was supposed to take away everything. There wouldn't be a remnant for the house of Esav. עוד בטרם יוולד. Still in utero. כך, if that would have happened, היה נולד יעקב לבדו, then only Yaakov would have been born. והיה עולם בא לכלל התיקון, כמו לפני החטא, the world would have reached its perfection, as it had been before Adam and Eve's transgression. וביתר שאת ביתר עוז, it would have had greater might. אלא שלא יצא הדבר לפועל. This was an inner struggle that did not bear fruit the way it should have. And the Rav Chalap expanded on this concept in Parshat Vayetze. מאחר שנולד עשיו, once Esav was born, and it's a matter of fact, there are two brothers here, נועד היה, so then Esav's purpose was להיות בחינת הקליפה, to represent this aspect of being the external peel. שקודמת לפרי, the peel is actually external, it's what you come in contact with first, before you come in contact with the fruit. Who Yaakov represents the fruit. Vezera kodsho, that is Yaakov and his holy seed, kulo mer kadosh. All of Yaakov is a declaration of holiness. Yaakov is the one who has a family where everyone's part of the family. No one's kicked out. Kach, lo haya tzarich Yaakov shetiye bo mitziyut shel etzo sepri. Yaakov initially did not have to be with the idea of a tree that bears a fruit, emtzaim lematara, where the world is divided into means that deliver an end, two stages, there's the tree, then there's the fruit. No, there's a concept of kulo kadosh, Yaakov should have been all holy. In the world we have two potentials, two approaches. There's the approach where everything is an end. Then there's the approach that says, no, there are means, there are ends, there's a path which ultimately leads there. That's an imperfect world. Hashem created a world of eitz pri. Hashem told the land, I want you to produce a tree that's the fruit itself. And the land didn't do that. The land played a game. The land said, I'll produce one tree that has the flavor of a fruit. And the rest of the trees, you'll have a process. And so the land represents that weakness, where not everything is fruit. Not everything is edible. There's a process. And that process is a source of weakness, because that process allows us to invest in things that are not the end, they are just the means. So today we live in a world that's like that, and we have no choice. We have to work to find the parnasa, and we have to invest time in all the material needs we have that are supportive of the spiritual, because the world is divided. There are means and there are ends. But Yaakov had the potential of representing all of the ends, of being a fruit, of being the essence of creation without the necessary means. kulo haya omed b'magamat ha-kodesh atzma. All of Yaakov could have been that great holiness. Mikan haya yesod ha-avato shel Yitzhak le-Esav. That's why Yitzhak had great love for Esav, because shera'a et Esav, what he saw in Esav was ke'etzo sepri. He saw Esav as being the tree, but he thought the tree would produce fruit. He saw that Esav was very focused on the material aspects of life, but he thought it was all for an end. It was all a process to attain that holiness. He saw Esav as the great facilitator of holiness. I will hunt, I will support holiness, I will succeed, I will be a channel through which holiness will come to the world. Meaning Esav's worldliness in Yitzchak's eyes wasn't necessarily negative. It was a funnel, a potential. It was a means that would ultimately deliver the ends. Gam mitzad ha-ma'ala ha-myuchedet lo. Also in regards to his special, unique traits. Yachol haya Esav le'agia eila bivchinat rosh bilvad. Esav could only attain the higher levels through his head, through his mind. Yachol haya, Esav was capable, lehavin b'mocho, mitzad ha-chokhmah. Esav could understand in his mind, in his wisdom. Aval lo haya yachol, but he could not, liot ba'alev, to be one, a master of the heart. His heart was not there. His potential for connection with the Ribon Shel Olam was through his mind. Esav could not have a heart that desires to always be in Hashem's yard. That aspect of connecting through the heart, that's a Jewish concept. Only Israel were given that heart. As the verse says in the Song of Songs, you pull me, I run after you. The king brings me to his room and I rejoice, I'm happy with him because my heart is there. I am happy. It's not a question of my mind. It's not intellectually I understand. It's emotionally I feel. It is my heart. It is my soul. It is my life. It is my life through my heart. Not only through my mind. Hevdel ze, this distinction ben Yisrael ha'amim, between Israel and the nations, nitgala be'et matan Torah, was revealed when Hashem gave us the Torah. Umot ha'olam, asher libam balimam, the nations of the world, whose hearts are really charging in many different directions, but they're not with their real purpose in the world. V'chol ma'ala she'tavo lahem, and any elevation that they can attain is ach mitzad ha-chokhmah. It is through wisdom. They can calculate, and they can say, this approach that Hashem gives me settles my mind. But it's not a question of settling one's heart. So that's why when Hashem offers them the Torah, they ask, what's written in it? That's an intellectual approach. What is written? I want to understand. Why? Because we want to judge the Torah. We want to estimate whether it makes sense to us. We're smart people. We have understanding. Let us understand it. But by Israel, the soul connection, the prime connection to the Ribon Shel Olam is through the heart. And we are taught that Hashem created our heart so that our heart is naturally honed to connect to our Father in heaven. It's our nature. And we're drawn to that. And just like metal is attracted to a magnet and it's drawn, so too it was natural for us to go that path of Hashem is offering me a Torah, I want to go that route. And so Israel doesn't ask anything. That's not a very smart move. Right, it wasn't a question of wisdom. It was not an intellectual move. Because the second they sense a closeness to Hashem, so they said, we want that. And they said, whatever Hashem says, we're willing to do. Yaakov sensed Yaakov hirgish she'alav letaken ma shehefriya lo lekiyum atzato shel Yitzchak benotlo ot habrachot me'Esav. Yaakov sensed he had to fulfill, there was something missing in his capacity to fulfill Yitzchak's blessings. Yaakov comes in slyly and takes those blessings, but there's something missing. Ze Esav shaya tzarich leitbarech. Who was supposed to get those blessings? Esav. Now, Esav's role in Yitzchak's mind was biyoto niyot liyot, biyoto noad liyot, ha'etz ha'mevi et apri. Esav's job was to play the supportive role. Esav's job was to be that tree that will support the fruit. Ha'mevi et emtzaim l'kedusha, Esav brings the means that facilitate holiness. So if you look at Yitzchak's blessings closely, that blessing of Ve'yiten Lecha is all physical. Hashem should give you the dew and the fruit, and you should be successful in your wars. You should be victorious, you should be a noble, you should be a master. Yaakov gets the blessings, I'll give you my father's blessings, you should have the land of Israel. Yaakov, in the end of the parasha, gets the spiritual blessings. But when Yitzchak thinks he's Esav, he gives him material blessings. And even though Rivka gave him the instructions to go and take those blessings, as Rebecca tells him, Rashi quotes the Targum, I've had a prophecy, you won't be cursed, this is right, you're supposed to do this. But what was she telling him? She was telling him, I had a prophecy, that no curse will come upon you. That she can guarantee him. Mikol makom, nonetheless, kevan shenistovev hadavar begomato shel Yaakov shelo eshlim et bitulo shel Esav beodo bebeten imo. In some way, Yaakov was to blame that he did not succeed in taking from Esav what he should have in utero. He explained that in Parashat Vayetze. Ra'a Yaakov, Yaakov recognized she'alav mutelet chovat ha'tikun. He still has to fix what he has, a job left undone. Lazot, that is why hechnia atzmo Yaakov neged Esav. Yaakov makes himself subservient, he surrenders to Esav. Kedei lif'ol alav, he wants to affect Esav achat mishtayele, in one of two ways. O she'ikana levavo, either he will affect Esav's heart, Esav will subdue his heart. V'aya gam hu l'elokim. O la'afrid et b'chinat ha'achva she'etzel Esav, klomar et ha'shayichut she'yesh le'Esav el'Yaakov. He says, either Esav will surrender his heart to me, he will suddenly change courses, or Esav will feel totally distant from Yaakov. I have nothing to do with him. Look at him. What a pitiful being. Either Esav will see Yaakov surrender, and Esav will surrender his heart to Yaakov.
What exactly, though, was Yaakov?
Let's see. Ad sheyishaer Esav levado bivchinato shelo. Esav's going to have to choose. Either he'll see Yaakov surrender, so he'll surrender his heart. So Esav will suddenly take on a different role. He'll put himself down. He'll say, wait, Yaakov, as we'll see in a second. Or Esav will say, I want to have nothing to do with that pitiful creature. Look at him, that weakling. Look at how he's subservient. And then Esav will say, I'm not his brother. Esav will sever all ties. Esav atzmo yishael bivchinat, and then Esav will remain with that concept of, I'm with my mind alone. Aval zar'o animshach achei levado, achei levavo, yipardu legamri me'Yaakov. And then Esav's future, his children, well, they're going to go their natural path, which will mean to go after their desires, and they won't have any connection altogether, which is, as we'll see, that's what actually happened. Kol zot pa'al Yaakov, all of this Yaakov accomplished, kasher shalach malachim le'Esav. When he sent messengers to Esav, that he accomplished.
What exactly was he
accomplished? Wait. Shehu shalach malachim el Esav achiv. He sent angels to Esav, his brother. Zeha memazeg bekirbo etzad Esav. The stress of the pasuk is that Esav was balancing within himself two sides of his personality. One side is he's Esav the wild man, and the other side is the etzad achiv. The other side is I'm his brother. I'm Yaakov's brother. The malachim and the angels that go to Esav, hefridu bin shnei tzadim ha'ele, they separated these two aspects. They come to, back to Yaakov. He sends them to Esav, Achiv. They come back and they say, we came el achicha, pause, el Esav. They separated these two. Ulam bat, mishenifreda bechinata achva shebe Esav. Once Esav was more distinctly separate from this idea, he's my brother, nishtana anyano, then Esav's concept starts changing. V'im kodem lechen amar, and if earlier Esav had said, yikrevu yemei evel avi, va'aharga et Yaakov achi, in the end of Parshat Toledot, Esav says, soon dad's going to die and I'll kill Yaakov, my brother. So he's not going to do it in his father's lifetime. But now that the angels have affected Esav, now Esav is coming. Holech likratcha ve'arba me'ot ishimo. He's coming to kill you. Lo'gecha gam b'chayei ha'avu. Even though dad's still alive. So beforehand, Esav had an element where he was connected to Yaakov. He was connected to the concepts of Yaakov, to the mercy of Yaakov, to the idea that I'm going to kill him, but not so long as dad's alive. And now he no longer shares that element of Yaakov. Now he's completely Esav. He's ready to kill you even though his father's alive. Lezot pachad Yaakov vayar vayetzer lo. That's why Yaakov was so scared. Aval al yedei ishtachavaya l'Hashem. But when Yaakov bows to Hashem, the Zohar says Yaakov was bowing. Esav thought he was bowing to him. Yaakov was bowing to their bone shalolam. He was, in essence, doing Shmona Esrei, bowing to their bone shalom again and again. And again, in prayer, ad gishto ad achiv, till he came up to his brother. That's not what Esav saw, but that's what Yaakov was doing. What Yaakov was doing was pa'al levatel et kol pchinat Esav. He was, in fact, working to annul that aspect of Esav. Ad shenishara pchinat achva levada. What Yaakov was trying to accomplish was to break away at that evil that is Esav, and bring out the side that is the brother. Mikan shenashko Esav liYaakov nishako bechol libo. The Medrash Rabba says when Esav kissed him at that moment, after Yaakov bowed seven times, he kissed him with a whole heart. He cried, "Haynu shegam libo nitala lemala." Esav's heart was also elevated then. Ve'amad bivchinat ha'achva bilvad. And then there was only the element of brothership. Achi, Esav tells Yaakov, brother, yehi lecha asher lach, you can have whatever is yours. That's Esav talking. Esav was ready to kill him. Esav gathered 400 soldiers. What's going on here? Yaakov was able to affect him. Ze gam shelakach et kol rechusho. That's why we see later on, when Yaakov rejoins Esav, Esav takes all his wealth. Banav, binotav, kol nafshot beito mikneu. He takes his sons, his daughters, his whole family, all his people, all his cattle. Vayelech el eretz mipnei Yaakov achiv. He goes off to another land. He goes off to Seir. He leaves room for Yaakov. Why? Yaakov was able to bring him to a point of brotherliness. He was able to bring him to a totally different place. But Esav alone sensed that feeling, not his descendants. And that's why they went back to the traits of Esav. Yaakov sends word to Esav, he says, Vayhili Shol v'chamor. I have an ox and the donkey. And our sages say he's indicating to Esav, I have the promise of a future of Mashiach ben Yosef. I have the chamor that represents Mashiach ben David. I have tzon. That means I have the sheep of Hashem. I have the people of Israel. Mashiach ben Yosef will come out of a vengeance for that sheep that is scattered, Israel that has been scattered like sheep. There's going to be a great vengeance that'll come out of Israel, where they view every nation that succeeded in this world, and Israel was always viewed as the spare ribs. They're the extras. Who needs them? And everyone is quick to put them down. And everyone is willing to let them be destroyed. And so there's going to come a time of vengeance. That's the time of Mashiach ben Yosef. But that vengeance will stem from a recognition that we are Hashem's people. Hashem's name is upon us. It won't stem from an idea of, I've had enough of this. It'll stem from an idea of, I have a task in this world. How could I let them put me down like this? And then Hashem will have that vengeance, just as Pinchas had a vengeance, where the vengeance is to stand up for Hashem's name. And if that's the vengeance, then Mashiach ben Yosef won't die. The donkey is Mashiach ben David. That's his role, is to reveal Torah. To reveal the secrets of Torah, to reveal the depths of Torah. Yaakov tells Esav, I have this with me. I have Shor, Chamor, Tzon. I have the people of Israel with all the powers of the people of Israel. Yaakov, it says, came whole after the meeting with Esav. Just as Esav put himself down and removed the evil from his heart and connected completely to Esav to the point where he was able to kiss him with a complete heart, Yaakov also attained a wholeness from that meeting. Whole in his body, in his money, in his Torah. The idea of being whole in his body is the idea of Mashiach ben Yosef. Whole in his money is the fulfillment of what it says, you will be successful. All who try to attack you will fall on your sides. Whole in his Torah is the idea of Mashiach ben David. When he is whole, he sets up his tent in Shechem, a place which our sages say was always fertile ground for trouble. And that's where he establishes his house and purchases a field. That's where he establishes an altar and calls out in the name of Hashem. And he was given the title El, the Powerful One. And this reflected the idea that we could move up the ladder. So Yaakov has attained a level of wholeness. He isn't addressing yet how he fell with Dinah. But he's attained a level of wholeness, and that's why he can stay in that place which is so dangerous. At least for a year and a half he manages there. Yaakov tells Esav, Im Lavan garti v'aichar ad ata. So there are three aspects. There's the past, there's the present, and there's the future. In the future, Hashem says, I'll be king over the world. My name will be recognized. That's the idea of Yiyeh, will be in the future. That's when the internal, the external, things will go quickly and people will be able to elevate themselves far more quickly. The idea that the verse says, Hashem's name is a fortified tower where people can rush upward. The idea of a speedy elevation. Adam, before the transgression, was able to grow very quickly. Our sages say he was just created and he attained great heights. That's before he transgressed. It says, the angels looked at him and said, why would you create man? And after he was around for 1 hour, The angels wanted to sing because they didn't recognize him. The angels wanted to sing a song of praise to Adam, the Medrash says. They came down and said, "Are you God?" So when Adam is created, the angels say, "Why create him?" An hour later, the angels look at him and they ask, "Is that God down there?" That's how great he was after an hour. So there is a potential for man to grow quickly. But the idea that one can grow so quickly like Adam, that's going to be minuscule compared to where we'll get to in the future. That idea of constant growth is when one can nurse off of the future. And then there is a constant rejuvenation. Every moment is renewal. And that's when one can also understand that, that's one aspect. There's an aspect of connecting to the future. There's an aspect that the more one can connect to the future, the more one can grow speedily. There's also an idea that anything you have only stems from the past. But anything that is only connected to the past keeps diminishing over time. Even the past has strength because it has a future. If there was no future, then the past has no relevance either. The idea that I can grow learning from my past is because I believe in my future. It's because I can connect to the future. When we speak about the merits of Israel stemming from the forefathers, we're looking at the past. But the greatness of the forefathers was their capacity to look to the future, their capacity to see a future, the idea that Israel would be in a better place. They're going to exit all this. Our greatness begins with the idea that we are children to the forefathers. But the greatness of the forefathers was that their children would be Israel. The purpose of the forefathers was that they would be the patriarchs to the people of Israel. The idea that the merits of the forefathers continue is, so to speak, yearning off of the future. You have a cycle here. Where do they have strength from? Not only because they were amazing people, but also because they were the forebearers of the people of Israel. We have an opinion in Talmud that says the merits of the forefathers came to an end. Well, that's when you look at the past. But the merits that we are their children, and the merits of the forefathers that connect to a future, that's never ending. On the contrary, it keeps growing. So we spoke about connecting to the past, we spoke about connecting to the future, but there is also the concept of the present. And that's a concept where a person realizes that every moment there's renewal. Chadashim labkarim. Every moment I say, Hashem's allowing me to exist this moment. There's rejuvenation in this moment as well. Right now Hashem created the world. Right now I exist. Hashem's creating that existence right now. And that idea is an idea just like creation before the transgression. He didn't do anything wrong, I'm creating him. There's a creation here that has an element of perfection. That's not affected by our imperfection. Lavan represents the snake that tries to uproot everything right in creation. The snake tries to destroy everything. He comes and seduces and says, "You will be godlike." What does Lavan do when he comes to Yaakov? He says, "I have the power to harm you. God told me to be careful not to try to affect you with good or bad." He's connecting to that tree of good or bad. The tree is also called good or bad. Hashem commands man and says, you can touch all and eat all the fruits of the field, but that tree of good and bad, that you shouldn't touch. Just as whereby the tree, the snake, the serpent, seduces them to eat from that tree of knowledge of good and bad, So too, Lavan was coming with the goal. Let me seduce Yaakov and bring him back to this idea that there's good, that there's bad, the connection to that tree. Yaakov tells Esav, I was with Lavan, but Lavan wasn't able to bring me down. Part of what the snake does in bringing a person down is that he tells him, remember your past. Can you connect to that past? Can you focus on that past? You can't connect to the future. Yaakov tells him, Va'echar ad ata. I reach the point of ata, where I can see the present, and I'm not dragged down by the past. I can connect to the future, and I can draw strength from the past. But you, Esav, you keep coming to me from the claims of the past. You're connected to the past. But you should know that one who is only connected to the past keeps on being diminished. He doesn't grow. When all I'm doing is connecting to the past, and Esav keeps connecting to the past, it says Esav, till the end of time, maintains that enmity. The Talmud says that in Rome they had a custom where they would commemorate the day that Yaakov stole Esav's blessings. And they'd have a man walking with a limp, representing Yaakov, and they'd have this big burly guy riding on top of him, representing Esav. And they'd commemorate this year after year. They're still connected to that past. Yaakov says, I look to the future and I connect to the future. So these are the thoughts Rav Charlap says in this piece. The idea that Yaakov's original job was to take those sparks from Esav. When Esav was born, there became a world where there are means and an end, and Yitzchak saw in Esav the potential to be the means to the ends. Yaakov gets the blessings, but he gets it as being the means, not being the ends. Yitzchak blesses him with the worldly means, because Yitzchak thinks it's Esav, and in Esav Yitzchak sees the potential of being the means to the end. When Yaakov comes to Esav, he gives Esav an ultimatum, in fact. Either you will put yourself down and then you can connect to me. You can become a part of what I'm doing in this world. If you will subdue your heart, you'll become a kind person, you'll connect to me as a brother. Or you'll say, I have nothing to do with that brother. Look at him, that pitiful creature. And then you'll walk away from me. Yaakov knew he'd walk away alive from the meeting. But he didn't know which way Esav would choose. And Esav's capacity is always to connect through the mind. But then Esav had a change when Esav saw Yaakov. And Esav said, I'm going to connect. And Esav connected truthfully through his heart. And that's why for the rest of Esav's life, what you find is Esav's willing to connect to Yaakov. Esav respects him. Esav leaves. But that also only affected Esav. Esav remains the one who connects through the mind. Just like the nations only ask, what does it say in it? I want to analyze that Torah. Esav himself connected through the heart, but his descendants did not. Yaakov tells Esav, this is who I am if you want to connect to me. I am the one who has the donkey, the ox, and the sheep. I have Mashiach ben Yosef. That's where there'll come a time where my people will not put up with being put down. They're going to say, my job as the servant of Hashem is, I have a job in this world and I can't let that job repeatedly be put down, not out of a personal jealousy, but out of a jealousy for Hashem's name. I have a Mashiach ben David. I have a future of, we're going to return that the crown of Torah. And I have the sheep, I have the people of Israel that will ultimately be reunited. So Yaakov, when he connects to Esav, becomes a more whole person himself. And that's why Yaakov afterwards can contend with Shechem. He goes to the place of Shechem, which is the most troublesome place on the planet, but Yaakov can be whole there, acquire a house there, live there for a year and a half without trouble, set up a place of worship to Hashem, because Yaakov represents the idea that you can grow. Yaakov attains that wholeness specifically because he was able to connect to Esav correctly. Yaakov also tells him, I was with Lavan. And Lavan represents the idea of the serpent, the idea of, I will make you transgress, and then I will make you connect to that transgression, and you won't be able to keep growing forward. Before Adam sins, Adam can grow exponentially in an hour. The angels go from looking down at him to thinking he is God. Afterwards, he's limited. He can't connect to that future. Growth is when I can see future. I can see future, I can keep growing. If I can see future, I can tap into the strengths of the future. That gives me strength to keep growing, and I can keep growing. The patriarchs, their greatness stems also from their connection to the future, and that never ends. Well, what the serpent does is he limits the capacity to connect to the future. Now you suddenly look at the past. You say, look at what I did wrong. How can I connect? How can I hope for a better future? Look at where I was. The more we connect to the past can give us strength, but even that strength is limiting. We have to connect to the future in order to have a strength that is boundless. And that's what Yaakov says to Esav, the final point. I was with Lavan. Va'echar ad ata. But even though I was with Lavan, he wasn't able to connect me the way the serpent holds Adam down to his past. On the contrary, I've reached a point of balance where I see the past and draw strength from it. I see the future and draw strength from that, and I live in the present. Va'echar ad ata. But I've reached the point of now. The point of now is the balance where I can tap strengths from the past and the future and see in the present the godliness of the present. See the concept where even the present is really a new creation with new potential for perfection. I'm not bound by the past. I can draw strength from it, but I'm not bound by it.